Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Continuing. Canto 3, Chapter 3. Texts 22 and 23. We were hearing yesterday about Krishna in Dwarka, and where we ended up yesterday was, well, there was a discussion about Krishna's energies, and attachment for his spiritual energy and detachment from his material energy, and they're not contradictory. Text 21 reads, "The Lord enjoyed his pastimes both in this world and in other worlds in the higher planets, specifically in the association of the Yadu dynasty. At leisure hours offered by night, he enjoyed the friendship of conjugal love with women, with his wives." So, the next, again, is this combination of complete detachment, spiritual attachment, and following all the rules of household life. And then what follows is an explanation of how it's easy to understand. Common living entity, which Krishna is not, a common living entity's attachment for matter, it's not easy to understand Krishna's detachment. This is Uddhava appreciating the transcendental nature of Krishna. Oh, go into that a bit. Here's a translation given by Vishwanath Chakravarti, or of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's writing. "Enjoying in this way with his queens, he showed complete detachment from the activities of a householder, though following the rules of karma yoga continuously for many years." So referring back to the previous phrases, some jayate viraga, complete detachment or indifference to fruitive activity. Because when there's religious activity, if one's consciousness is not transcendental, religious activity is perceived as that which is going to gain me some pious fruits, and in this life enjoy, and after this life to heaven. Common. I mean, not just one tradition. The world has that. All the religions of the world have that notion. Be pious. Enjoy, but do it piously. and you will enjoy bountifully in this life and heaven in the next life. Comment. So the point here is that Krishna was not, he was following to set an example, not with fruitive intention. There's no modes of nature involved with Krishna. There's no mode of passion. There's no trying to become the enjoyer of the fruits of pious work. There's no consideration of that in Krishna's case. Yet, he followed with complete detachment, appearing to be attached. I mean, 16,000 wives, appearing to be at a palace for every one, appearing to be attached. But religious, following everything very properly. Prabhupada's translation is a little different, but the same theme. The Lord was thus engaged in household life for many, many years, but at last his complete detachment was fully manifested. Purport. Even though the Lord is never attached to any kind of material sex life, as the universal teacher, he remained a householder for many, many years just to teach how one should live in householder life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the commentary we just referred to, explains that the word samajayata means fully exhibited. In all his activities, while present on earth, the Lord exhibited detachment. This was fully displayed when he wanted to teach by example that one should not remain attached to a householder life for all days of one's life. One should naturally develop detachment as a matter of course. Then it gets transcendental again. The Lord's detachment from household life does not indicate detachment from his eternal associates, the transcendental cowherd damsels. But the Lord desired to end his so-called attachment to the three modes of material nature. He's not attached, but he's demonstrating a lila of detachment for instruction purposes. So we can understand, okay, those who are married at a certain stage, that is left behind. Even while undergoing that, there shouldn't be, oh, this is really a nice attachment. Then, because that spirit of detachment must be cultivated progressively. And detachment doesn't mean doesn't caring. Detachment means not to be in the enjoying spirit, but to serve. Serve Krishna. Krishna can never be detached from the service of his transcendental associates like Rukmini and other goddesses of fortune. As described in Brahma Samhita, Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevyamana. So understanding Krishna's position as well as understanding what detachment means is being explored. Krishna has six opulences, correct? Bhagavan. He possesses bhagas, opulences. And one of those opulences is detachment or renunciation. And so, it's not that, oh, Rukmini, I don't care for you anymore. But even in association of the goddess of fortune, it's not the attachment as we know attachment, which is, here is an object, I want to be the enjoyer of the object, and I'm attached to being the enjoyer of that object. Without attachment, acting as if in duty, but with transcendental affection. Yet, samajayata viragaha, complete indifference. Puzzling, isn't it? And by contemplating on Krishna's divyam, his transcendental activity and his transcendental nature, one can oneself become liberated. Janma karma jame divyam evam yoveti tatvata. So that's the Bhagavad Gita teaching. Now here's the Bhagavatam exploring more deeply what is the transcendental nature of Krishna's activity. If one enters into household life, what is the nature of transcendental household life? Because household life looks like, who needs household life if there's not material attraction? And how do you be detached when there's material attraction leads to attachment and attachment leads to suffering? So who wants to buy into suffering? How do you keep your position transcendental? By fixing your consciousness upon Krishna and understanding Krishna's transcendental nature. So, it's different because Krishna is associating with his own potencies and we're not. But in Krishna's associating with his own potencies, he had deep affection and he at the same time complete detachment. Detached caring. When you're practicing Krishna consciousness and you're preaching Krishna consciousness, you're helping others in Krishna consciousness, that detached caring is something that it's necessary, or there's suffering and it's not easy to achieve. It's not going to be achieved at all unless one is attached to Krishna. So your attachment to Krishna is on Krishna's behalf. You're striving to do something for the welfare of others. But what the outcome of that striving is entirely in Krishna's hands, so there's detachment. That's from our position. In Krishna's position, he wants to show us the standard of detachment. So he left household life. And then, here's the next verse. What to speak of the Lord, knowing himself to be a jiva subject to the control of karma, surrendering to the Lord in bhakti yoga, will have faith in material objects and the desires which produce karma. I'll read it again. What to speak of the Lord, knowing himself to be a jiva, subject to the control of karma, while surrendering to the Supreme Lord in bhakti yoga, will have faith in material objects and desires which produce karma. Shall I read it again? What to speak of the Lord, knowing himself to be a jiva subject to the control of karma, while surrendering to the Lord in bhakti yoga, will have faith in material objects and desires which produce karma. This verse is intended to explain the Lord's position and how we can apply the understanding of the Lord's position to our position. If the Lord has detachment from his actions in household life, and in his case, his actions in household life, there's no karma. but he has detachment from them. Who's trying to engage in devotional service unto Krishna will have attachment or affection for his own fruitive actions which produce karma, and then the objects that are acquired in the course of those fruitive actions. So the converse is, by practicing devotional service, it means surrendering fully to the Supreme Lord. Our object of attachment becomes the Lord. In the course of surrendering of the Lord, we do activities for the Lord. We're not attached to those activities or the objects connected to those activities, but we're in devotion attached to the Lord. So I'll go through it again. Krishna is detached from activities which have no karma. For those who understand these activities have karma connected to them, who will be attached to those activities? If they're trying to engage in devotional service, you cultivate the spirit of detachment while becoming attached to Krishna. This is the Bhagavatam expanding on Bhagavad Gita. In the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's a question that Arjuna asks explicitly twice about attachment to devotional service and the involvement in what he considers to be abominable activity, because it has karma attached to it. Yavaram gore, this ghastly warfare. So it's unless one's mind is very clear and steady, then our duties of life look like either opportunities to enjoy religiously, just pious activity, then it's an offense to devotional service to consider devotional service on that platform. Or, like Arjuna, something I don't really want to do. It's, I like or I don't like, and the center of enjoyment is me. Fruitive activity, fruitive consciousness, so that just add the mode of goodness and it becomes pious fruitive activity. And avoiding those things that are impious fruitive activity or forbidden activity. But devotional service isn't like that. Devotional service is altogether different. Devotional service is, we do our duties with detachment for the fruits of those duties, and the duties themselves, we strive at least to become attached to Krishna. Now, how do you work that into situations where there's a natural tendency to become attached, like in household life? When we have to see the activity, the duty, and the objects, the husband or the wife, as Krishna's parts and parcels who I'm serving. My life is to serve Krishna. Krishna has provided this spirit soul for me to serve as my wife or as my husband. And I have a role. I have the husband's role, or I have the wife's role. And I'm serving Krishna. And it's perfectly appropriate. I love my wife. I love my husband. I have deep care for them. At the same time, there must be attachment to Krishna, and with that, the spirit of detachment that says, this is meant to bring me closer, 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 bring us closer, closer, closer to Krishna. And that closer to Krishna position is then detachment from the activities of household life and the objects of household life, the paraphernalia of the home, and so on and so on. If one isn't trained this way, without doubt, the default position is attachment. Guaranteed attachment. and with attachment, guaranteed two things, suffering and another birth of suffering. Guaranteed. So this is provision, this is that nice Bhagavatam instruction about Krishna to help one understand how to take up household duties or other duties of life in the spirit of detachment while one is very dutiful and diligent. The key is becoming attached to Krishna. And the key to becoming attached to Krishna is understanding Krishna. He's worthy of being attached to. He's not just, you know, a better version of one of us. He's the transcendental Lord. So is still one more time. Krishna, there's no question of Krishna being detached from Rukmini. That's his internal potency. She is his internal potency. He's not detached from his internal potency. But at the same time, the modes of nature are not working. So it's not an attachment that's like our attachment, where I want to be the enjoyer of an object outside of myself. Our idea of our experience of attachment is like that. Here's an object. I want to enjoy. I'll become enjoyer of this object. And it's bona fide, it's authorized by religion. I can be the enjoyer of this object. My husband or my wife and the paraphernalia of the home and so on. But in Krishna's position, there's no question of detachment, but at the same time there's no modes of nature operating. And so it's love for his own potency, and at the same time, by lila, Krishna can leave his household life. Now, Krishna didn't leave household life and take sannyas, but he left Dwarka without attachment. Here's Prabhupada's explanation. Text 23, the translation reads, every living entity is controlled by a supernatural force. Daiva Adhina. Adhina. Daiva Adhina. Controlled by supernatural force. Every living entity is controlled by supernatural force, and thus his sense enjoyment is also under the control of that supernatural force. No one, therefore, can put his faith in Lord Krishna's transcendental sense activities except one who has become a devotee of the Lord by rendering devotional service. You can't understand Krishna's position by mental adjustment. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, no one can understand the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord. Period. Well, devotees can understand. The same fact is herein corroborated. No one but one who is an enlightened, one who is enlightened by devotional service of the Lord can understand the difference between the Lord's activities and those of others who are controlled by the supernatural force. The sense enjoyment of all animals, men, and demigods within the purview of the material universe is controlled by the supernatural force called the Prakriti or Daivi Maya. No one is independent in obtaining sense enjoyment, and everyone in the material world is after sense enjoyment. Persons who are themselves under the control of supernatural power cannot believe that Lord Krishna is not under any control beyond himself in the matter of sense enjoyment. They cannot understand that his senses are transcendental. gives the example from Brahma Samhita that Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vritti Manti, the senses of the Lord are interchangeable with other senses. What's that? It's not us. Eat with your ears. Eat with your eyes. Impregnate with your eyes. I mean, boil an ocean with your eyes. The Lord's senses are, one sense is interchangeable with the other, and each sense is inconceivably potent. So we don't have that position. So how we can understand the Lord's sense activity? Not by comparing it to ours. It's not understandable by speculation. The controlled living entity cannot even dream of such sense activities in his conditioned life. But simply by activities of bhakti yoga, he can understand that the Lord and his activities are always transcendental. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Conclusion. One cannot know even a fraction of the activities of the Lord if he is not a pure devotee of the Lord. Well, Uddhava is, and he understands more than a fraction, and he's expressing his exaltation, his deep love for Krishna, who isn't easy to understand for an ordinary person. Going back to the earlier verses, he's lamenting, or feeling pain, rather, that the Lord has this transcendental position. It gives him great pain. It gives him great pain because ordinary people don't understand. And because they don't understand, they speak in mundane ways. They speak offensively. And they entangle themselves in suffering conditions of life because they don't understand. And that brings him great pain. At the same time, he's pointing out the transcendental nature of the Lord. So if one can catch it, then one can become freed from those offenses and the suffering and the whole existence of material life. That brings great joy. Science of devotional service. I was speaking with somebody recently who has a PhD in engineering of some kind, and so they are expressing about themselves that I am a scientific type of a person, and so blah 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 blah. That's not, in the line of devotional service exactly. My reply was, devotional service is very scientific. It takes more than an intelligent person. It takes a brilliant person. It takes someone who is able to receive brilliance from descending knowledge to understand this. It doesn't require that you're a PhD. It doesn't require that you're a big scholar. It does require to be very thoughtful and to allow current material conceptions to be released and to contemplate this descending knowledge about who Krishna really is, because it's being revealed. I am like this. Or through Uddhava, he's revealing himself. I am like this. And for one who receives it properly, then you can understand who is Krishna. What is his nature when he engages in activity? But you can't be dull. No complacency. There's no room for complacency. I'm thinking about this a bunch. Thinking of making a presentation when I go to Seattle on this topic. There's no room for complacency. And if you want your life to be progressive on a spiritual path, there's no room for complacency. Doesn't mean like you have to be, you know, some really intense person, but you can't be complacent. There has to be from within a desire to move toward Krishna, not just out of fear, oh, I don't like to suffer. Then it's selfish. Or it's in the mode of ignorance. I don't like pain. And, you know, so I'll do something to avoid pain. And what happens when the pain is gone? Then it's complacency. Then progress subsides. And, you know, this is a common thing. People ask, from my experience, you know, they come and take part in some very nice festival or a yatra or some uplifting experience, and at the end the question is, how do we maintain this? How do we sustain this? Because my experience is and I like them, but you know, how do you stay there? Common question. The modes of nature are acting, and thus, so our attention goes away from Krishna. That's the material circumstance. So complacency is not an option. So we, like, you know, have to consciously rule that out, like, you know, surrendering to complacency, not necessarily going out and finding some. But, you know, it comes to your door and you just surrender. I tried hard. I deserve a little vacation. But there's no vacation from devotional service. Sankalpa vikalpa. It's discussed in Nectar of Devotion like that. Accepting, rejecting. It's the nature of the mind. So if one accepts Krishna consciousness on the platform of the mind, which my experience is largely that's what happens, because that's what we're used to doing, we accept things within our mind. After some time, vikalpa. The way that Prabhupada explains it is, this is our tendency in material existence. We work 5 days and we want 2 days. And at the end of 2 days, we're ready to go back to work. Or somebody, you know, like kids, they have their summer vacation, and by the time the summer's over, they're ready to go back to school. And, you know, it's boring. I want to go to school. Sankalpa vikalpa. And it's like that with all it. As we're making a plan for enjoyment within the mind, as we're doing that, there's this other energy that says, no, not exactly like that. Should be a little more like over here. And, oh yeah, a little bit over here. And as that plan is developing, no, but it's this binary function of the mind, accepting, rejecting. So the platform of devotional service needs to be approached from a awakening of a desire within the soul to be in one's relationship with Krishna. And when there's a relationship, you're not sometimes not. It's a relationship. What to speak of a relationship with Krishna? The switch is always on. And if that's one's spirit, then this tendency will diminish. And one of the ways to strengthen that is just this very nice little presentation that was been given to us, compliments of Uddhava, is Krishna's attachment, apparent attachment and apparent detachment, because we don't, you know, we can't understand it comparing it to our own. And then how are we to orient ourselves to attachment, detachment? Properly, not fanatically or speculatively, by attachment to Krishna. Then who is Krishna? What is his nature? So we contemplate Krishna's nature, and that we'll develop some attachment for Krishna. We contemplate Krishna's nature under proper guidance, like Uddhava personalities. They know Krishna. This is what Krishna is like. With that comes corresponding detachment from objects and general tendencies that take us away from Krishna. And our life is a cultivation of that. That's bhakti yoga. Becoming attached to Krishna and progressively detached from all temporal things while still remaining responsible and dutiful, but without attachment. That's Krishna consciousness. Any discussion? Yes. Feel that what?
Then I feel that I'm questioning myself, that am I detached? That's how I'm able to do all those things that I'm supposed to be doing. But then at the same time, I look into my heart and I see my heart in a very painful situation, and I feel my heart is pounding. Then I feel, oh no, I'm not detached. I'm so attached to my family. And I get so confused and question myself and asking and how I am not able to help with myself. And the same thing, the other question I have, that how I can overcome in painful situations.
I didn't hear the second one, but let me address the first one. Then you can bring up the second one. What I just heard is a description of the modes of nature. The modes of nature, the mode of goodness is duty. And the mode of passion is enjoyment. And with that, attachment. So, duty says, my contentment is duty. It's doing the right thing. And I'm peaceful or satisfied knowing that I'm doing the right thing. As you said, household, earnings, you know, the different roles that you have to play. And a religious person, a mode of goodness person, feels some contentment and steadiness in that. But now, the next question is there detachment? And the answer is, no. But not detachment. I have some expectations of enjoyment. It's not like anything could happen and it's okay. It's, you know, anything that happens, it might not be okay. And that's then it's happiness or distress, joy or sorrow, depending upon how things. So there's attachment. So the steadiness in service is not necessarily. I mean, you have a mixture of modes, in short. And the modes are impelling. And we become conditioned by them. Until, say it conclusively, until we become fully Krishna conscious, there's going to be attachment to matter, and with that, you know, the ups and downs of the waves of material energy. There's ups and there's downs. So until when we're fully Krishna conscious, that those ups and those downs, they may still happen, but we don't go up and don't go down. We remain steady in a transcendental position. But the price for that is attachment to Krishna. And that means gradually, at least, letting go of the other attachments. This common example, if I'm holding this bottle and I want to pick up my book, can't pick up the book while I'm holding the bottle. I have to let go of the bottle and pick up the book. If there's conceptions that we're holding on to that are not spiritual, and we want the happiness of spiritual life while holding on to those material conceptions, it's not going to happen. We have to let go. And when those spiritual conceptions are accepted, then with that comes detachment. But detachment doesn't mean, oh, now I can just escape. I don't have to do any duties anymore. Krishna dismisses that idea in Bhagavad Gita. Even the perfected souls must perform their duty. Even Krishna is performing his duty. But to speak of perfected souls. But without attachment. Because of attachment to Krishna. And because of that attachment to Krishna, wanting to please Krishna very much. More than one wanted to get material happiness from the dutiful performance of the activities of life. Far more. Transcendentally. Far more. So that's the cure of that mix. Now the second question. Do you recall the second question?
Can I overcome
that? Okay. Become attached to Krishna. In Uddhava Gita, Uddhava asks Krishna, what's the cause of suffering? There's a whole chapter dedicated to answering. The Avanti Brahman story, you know that story? Avanti Brahman? No? It's a long story. It ends with the Avanti Brahman concluding, the cause of suffering is the mind. And the cause of enjoyment is the mind. Or as Krishna says, the mind can be the best friend or worst enemy. So what is it that the mind is attached to? So bring the mind to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Well, the response to that is, yeah, but. I don't disagree, but fill in the blank. And then that gets addressed, and then it's yeah, but, and then it's another yeah, but, and there's another yeah, but. So we stay in that, you know, holding on to the cause of our suffering, and that the instrument that's holding on is the mind. It's the, you know, a material conception of I want to enjoy. And of course, it's my definition of what enjoyment is, not Krishna's. And if we accept Krishna's definition, it's, you know, the platform of service to him. Then it's very nice. We serve this way, we serve that way, we serve. Anything else? Yes? Yes?
Professor, his an attempt to in the direction of connecting with our teachers and interesting Krishna. How in that way we, as we do more and more, we develop detachment to other things. But how to understand the Supreme Lord's detachment?
How to understand the Supreme Lord's detachment? Well, you can better understand your own detachment by understanding the Lord's detachment. And as far as attachment to other things fading, as you described, some of the things are just not appropriate for a devotee, and some things are appropriate for a devotee, but attachment to those things fades because it takes on the dimension of service to Krishna. Like, let's say, you know, your car. You drove here in a car, right? So, you know, a materialist, you know, they're polishing their car, you know, taking pride in their car and fixing their car and enjoying rides in their car, and, you know, it's an object of attachment. A devotee doesn't have attachment for the car, but at the same time, they certainly take good care of the car because it's something provided by Krishna for my service to Krishna. If I take just that, you know, the attitude, the regard is different for the devotee. It's not attachment, it's devotional service. But that wasn't your question. Your question was, how do we understand Krishna's detachment? It's one of his opulences. He has everything, but he's detached from everything. He's not attached to any part of that which is his, which is everything. He engages in activities in relation to everything, but he's not attached. Like, let's take an example. Krishna says, surrender unto me. And somebody says, yeah, but. Now, what does Krishna feel when somebody says, yeah, but? I agree, I should surrender to Krishna, but. Now, how does Krishna feel? It doesn't change his regard for that living entity, wishing them to surrender unto him. Oh, you didn't surrender unto me? And, you know, I'll give you another 5 minutes. If not, I'm cutting you off. Really? He's unendingly, unconditionally desiring the welfare of all his part and parcel living entities despite their rebellious spirit. Just his nature. But he's not feeling, you know, sad or sorrowful or depressed or something if the living entities don't. There's unhappiness, there's sadness, there's feeling, but it's not out of attachment. Transcendental. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada. Keep going.